Today, we're going to be talking about, the title of this is a real happy title, Days of Chaos, the Cosmic Regime Change. You have to be completely asleep and living under a rock someplace. Let me ask you this. How many people, we're getting a little feedback here, Harlan, how many people believe that we're better off now than we were, let's say, 24 years ago? Anybody in the room think things are getting better? Come on now. There's got to be one of you. Oh, there we go. You think it's better? Okay, well, you're going to be stoned in the parking lot right after the conference here. I'm just joking. We always get one or two. Are you kidding me? The whole place is crumbling. It's falling apart. I mean, and we'll get into that. The question is, are we inserting end times prophecy into the news? And some people go, well, you can't take the news and insert end time prophecy into that. And they make all these ridiculous things. Sure you can. The Lord gives us what it's going to look like. You know, I mean, go back 150 years ago, right off the bat, you'd go, well, we're not in the end times. And why would I say that? Because Israel was not in the land. And the end time clock, in my opinion, starts ticking with the nation of Israel being reborn in a day, 1948. But you've got a whole wing of Christianity, Catholicism, which has what, 1.2 billion people on the planet are Catholic. They are cessationists, which means they do not believe in Israel has the rights of a land. They think the church has inherited all the promises of the Bible. Israel has rejected Messiah. Israel is dumb. It doesn't matter with Israel, which is crazy. And then you've got the Presbyterians, who recently declared that we will no longer believe in Christian Zionism. You've got a whole wing of evangelical Christianity, which never talks about prophecy, which never talks about Israel. I'm just getting over a five-week nasty cold, so please forgive my hacking and coughing, and I promise I won't spray it on the front row. But the bottom line, and I feel okay today, but here's the deal. They're clueless. Absolutely clueless, in my opinion. Because everything centers around Israel coming back into the land and being reborn in a day. And when you think about this, and I just love it, it just drives me nuts. These aren't the Jews, these are the Khazarians, blah, 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 blah. Know your history. There's been a Jewish presence in the Middle East since the diaspora in 125 when the Bar Kochba revolt happened. And the Romans came down, kicked everybody out, and all the Jews fled, what was left of them, into other areas. What is now Iraq, Iran, Syria, they're all over the place. So when Palestine / Israel, the Balfour Declaration, that's when they started coming back. 1948, they became a nation. How does the church, and we're not even on slide one yet, well, we're on Days of Chaos. This is the preamble. I apologize for the rabbit trails. But how does the Catholic Church and the rest of Christianity deal with this scripture? And you guys should memorize this, put it down in your spirit man and spirit woman, use it in your quiver for the people that come up and go, well, this has nothing to do with anything. In Israel, these are the Khazarians and blah, 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 Israel, blah, blah. It's like, excuse me, Hitler had no problem figuring out who the Jews were. No problem at all. And do you realize, I wrote about this in the Cosmic Chess Match, it's a move, counter move, all throughout the Bible. It's one way to look at the entire biblical narrative. The Most High God makes a move, and then the dragon, Satan, makes a move, and then the Most High God makes a counter move to that, all throughout the biblical narrative. The cross is one of the last big moves. No one saw it coming. How can you kill God? Tell me, how can you kill God? This is why the dragons figures, oh, he's going to come down from the cross. This is, in my opinion, why Mary and John are in front of the cross, looking up, going like, he's got to come down soon. It looks pretty bad, but, you know, he's God. He's got to come down. Mary knows he's God. John knows he's God. Peter's running around going, what did I just do? But he's there. He's looking at everything. But Jesus doesn't come down. Nobody saw the cross. Nobody got it. Nobody saw the cross. The dragon, Satan, didn't understand the cross. Nobody got it because you can't kill God. Oh, yes, you can. He makes him so he becomes death. He's the firstborn of the dead so that he becomes preeminent in all things. It's like, what? It's the most profound thing you can possibly read, we can possibly read, get our heads around. It's absolutely mind-boggling. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he would be preeminent in all things. It's like, just park there for a month or two and ruminate, cogitate, and think about that verse and what it means and the importance of it. It's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. How does God die? And then where does he go? So, I mean, I could talk for hours about this, and we've got a whole presentation to go here. So the bottom line is, here's the scripture, Amos 9, 14 and 15. Amos 9, 14 and 15. Write it down, memorize it, put it in your spirit, man and woman. It says this. This is Old Testament stuff, the Tanakh. I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. They will build the waste cities and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. They will also plant gardens and eat the fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be plucked up out of the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. That's it. It's over. That's never happened before. Ever, 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 ever. Never happened. Never happened. It's written after the Babylonian captivity. And if they get plucked up out of a land, then God's a liar. Get where this is going? See the importance of that? I will gather the captives of my people, Israel. They will build the waste cities and inhabit them. I've seen the waste cities in Israel rebuilt. Israel, go back 150 years, it was a wasteland. Nothing grew. The latter rain didn't fall. You couldn't grow anything there. The church had come in and poured salt over the land. It was swampland, marshland. Nothing grew. And then the latter rain began to fall, and the rest is history. They will build the waste cities and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. I've seen the vineyards. Israel exports more fruit than any other country around her. Not so much right now because of the war. I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be pulled up out of a land I have given them. Walk with that. Burn that into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, man or woman, and understand that the whole end time prophetic clock starts when Israel becomes a nation. That's it. You can tap dance around that till the cows come home. You can believe what you want to believe. But if you don't believe that everything hinges around Israel, let me ask you this. Where does Jesus return? Well, everybody knows he returns to Washington, D.C., right? That's really where he should go. But I digress. His feet touch the Mount of Olives and that baby splits in two. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that. He rules from Jerusalem, not Walla Walla, Michigan. Not making this up. Not making this up. So this whole body of Christian thought has uncoupled from prophecy, has uncoupled from Israel, has uncoupled from the entire counsel and word of God. There's a remnant. That's it. There's a little remnant that's even looking at the prophecies. In fact, there's one well-known speaker. I won't name the guy's name. He basically stated on the record that anyone who looks at prophecy is doing a disservice. It's really not a Christian. We don't go to church anymore. Because all the churches around us are amillennial. They do not believe in a literal thousand-year reign. Are you kidding me? Then what are we doing here? He comes back and he rules and he reigns for 1,000 years. I can't wait for that. Now, we're going to go up soon. And I'm not a date setter, but more than likely next Wednesday. All right, let's get into this. Days of chaos. So, the world's entering an age of chaos. United Nations chief. The intergovernmental organization is more divided at present than it was during the Cold War, its leader has said. Scientists update their prediction of how close we are to the end of the world, and, you know, their scientists are looking at everything and the algorithms and blah, 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 and they're basically saying, you know, this is bad. This is really bad. Then you've got scientists update their prediction, how close we are, it's very, very close. Are we living in the last days, the days of chaos? So I gave you the preamble of this, which is Israel. These are 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed. There was a video someone sent me this morning with Donald Trump saying, and I'm sure you will see it in the next 24 hours, he's basically outlining what he's going to do, One of the things he said, hallelujah, I've been banging this drum for 20 years, term limits. Term limits. It's going to be, that's it. Because you get a guy like Glitch McConnell in there, who's been in there since Abraham Lincoln, or Nancy Pelosi, who's been in there since George Washington, for crying out loud. And you got to boot these people out because they're career politicians. I mean, it's evil. And Glitch McConnell, as we speak, is already planning a coup against Trump. He's already doing it. So they'll put their guy in there and Trump won't get anything done. That's not going to happen. This isn't 8 years ago where he's surrounded by guys like weasels like Mike Pence, super weasel like Paul Ryan. That guy is just unbelievable. Who writes a nasty book, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mitch McConnell. I mean, all these guys got to go. It's got to go. Now he knows how to play the game. He actually knows where the men's room is. He doesn't need to be led there. When he walked into Congress for the first time, he had no idea. Now he does. Get where I'm going with this? And he's surrounding himself with people. It's not the Bush party anymore, you know? Read my lips. It's not that. You're the lesser of the terrorists. No, they're all out. They're all gone. It's his party. It's his party. And I just love the leftists. They're all going nuts. Go, move to Canada. Good. I like that. They make all these dumb threats and all these goofy movie stars. Who cares what you think about anything? Why do I care what Joy Reid thinks about anything? Why do I care about, what's her goofy face, Bette Midler? I mean, she was relevant maybe 50 years ago. Who cares what Bette Midler thinks? Who cares? Why do I even have to see her stupid face in the picture? Lord bless Bette in Jesus' name. She doesn't know you, so we pray for her salvation. But I mean, seriously? And they're all coming unglued. Oh, it's going to be the end of the world. Excuse me, already, Hamas, right? Hezbollah is talking about, push back. Qatar is kicking out the leadership. That was a good kick, LA. Do that again. No problem. Oh, karate mount hurt on the inside. Okay, so sorry about that. Qatar is kicking out Hamas leadership. Yeah. Already it's changing. He hasn't even gotten into the office and everybody's kind of going, and rightfully so. How about the goofy prosecutor now, you know, who's quaking in his boots because he realizes that lawfare ain't going to happen. I just can't wait. Hopefully, and we got to pray for him because they're going to try to take him out. I'm telling you right now, there's already been two. It's not done yet. It's not. They're going to try to take him out. Again, because if he gets in, and he says in this video, he will clean house. He's already talking about the FBI, CIA, all the letter agencies, at least 100,000 people are fired on day one, and they need to be. See, there it is, right? And we all know it. We the people know it, which is why we elected him to clean house. And it's got to happen, because if it doesn't, but here's the deal. That doesn't change anything, because Israel is the timepiece. Everything revolves around Israel, and this is why we're going to get into this. Okay, so here we go.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1, open borders and illegal immigration. 2, rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3, mass addiction and fentanyl. 4, election insecurity and interference. 5, the educational indoctrination of children. 6, the asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7, the destruction of private property rights. 8, inflation and debt. 9, the global depopulation agenda. 10, record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11, unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12, toxic food supply. 13, vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14, the trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15, overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16, destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17, DEI and the new racism. 18, moral and societal decay. 19, the financing of endless foreign wars. 20, the sprawling surveillance state. 21, the centralization and consolidation of government power. 22, the destruction of trust in institutions. 23, the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
transmission log 2050-01.
I mean, this is where we are, like it or not. If Harris, and here's the deal, it was too big to cheat. They had, and this is what I was afraid of before, I didn't know that, I heard rumors that Trump had created this army of lawyers, but I didn't know for sure. So I was going, they're going to steal it. It's going to be over. They're going to do exactly what they did in 2020. Nothing's changed. Everything changed. They had hundreds of lawyers out at the places. And I read stories where they wouldn't let the poll watchers in. Lawyers are there. They go, 10 minutes, we're going in the judge. Oh, we'll let the poll. Oh, we can't count the ballots till tomorrow. 10 minutes, we're going in the judge with this. You're in a heap of trouble. Oh, I guess we'll count the ballots. And on it goes. They're still trying to steal the election from Carrie Lake. They're still trying to steal it from her. Why? Because Arizona is run by the cartels. Make no doubt about it. That's where everything comes in. They're all. And if she gets elected, she's going to clean house. So we'll see where all this goes. But the bottom line is, if Kamala had gotten in, forget about it. Forget about it. I told Peggy we wouldn't do anything. But it's. Let me put it this way. 4 years ago, when Biden got elected, the Lord got me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, go to your YouTube channel and erase everything with politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Erase everything you said politically, because they're going to come after you. So I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, delete, 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 gone, completely gone. Next day, someone sends me an email. There's a guy up in Washington State, left coast, who read a Bible verse about homosexuality. The feds showed up on his doorstep. He was arrested. This is where we are. This is where we are. That's about to change. But he's got to get to the inauguration. He's got to get to that point. Let's keep him in your prayers, folks. Keep him in your prayers. If they take him out, all hell's going to break loose. That's the other thing. If he's assassinated, all hell's going to break loose, because we all know who's doing it. It's just like, you know, how much time do I have here this morning? Not too much. Yeah, all day. Yeah, right. Okay, I got to be careful. Okay, let's get back on track. Because once I start up with this political stuff, I mean, I used to do a show, and people would go, you're to the right of Rush Limbaugh. I go, I don't care what you think I am. I'm a patriot. And what I see is a complete collapse of our society on every stinking level, to the point where our children are being indoctrinated in the schools. We have one grandbaby, and she's not going to public school. That's all there is to it. We're going to homeschool her. You know? Have to. And if you want to know something, if you've got kids, get them out of the public school system. And think twice about sending your kid to college. We sent our daughter to college, one of our daughters, completely indoctrinated. Now she believes in Darwinism. Hell yeah. Raised him until she walked away from the Lord. I love Sarah with all my heart, walks away from the Lord, believes in Darwinism. She's never read any of my books. There's 14 of them, Sarah. Never watched any of the movies. She just keeps going. She got the jab. Need I say more? So, and I'm sure you have family members that basically the same thing. All we can do is pray and hope. That's all we can do. Pray and hope. It's free will. It's free will. And, you know, I knew who I was before I came to the Lord. Okay, back on track. This is a confidential briefing. I got that phrase from the late Chuck Missler. And they, his disciples, saying, Master, when will we see these things? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And Jesus said, take heed that you will not be deceived. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Stop right there. Do you realize how absurd that is? 2,000 years ago, there's no New Testament. There's a couple of, you know, maybe 300 or 400 people following this itinerant rabbi around. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's preaching in ways that no one has ever seen. He's doing miracles, opening the eyes of the blind, blah, blah, blah. But what an arrogant statement. Many will come in my name. Excuse me, who do you think you are, pal? Right? And the Pharisees are hearing that going like, oh, blasphemy, stone him. I mean, they're completely out to lunch. But what an absurd statement to make. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Seriously? Before the New Testament is written? That's the craziest thing you can possibly imagine. Who do you think you are? Because at this time, he's doing stuff, but the disciples are like, Peter finally goes, you're the Christ, you know? And they start to get it. Mary knows. Mary absolutely knows who he is. She's lived with him. That's why there's no humor in the Bible, right? So this is especially the Anglican Church. Will the men please come forward and receive the morning offering? Thank you. Mary is at the wedding feast in Cana. We all know the story, but there's no humor in the Bible. Don't laugh. If you laugh, you're going to hell. So, sorry. So Mary's at, and we're out of wine. We're out of wine. What do? So Mary says this: whatever he tells you to do, just do it. She knows. It's like, you know, she knows. There's the humor. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. She's seen this. She's lived with them. She knows, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. I mean, that's who she's lived with. She's lived with God. She's lived with the Messiah. So whatever he tells you to do, just do it. I mean, it's hilarious. And Jesus goes, yeah, go fill up these pots with water. And the stewards are going like, what? I mean, can you imagine this? And then they taste the wine and it's the best wine. I wonder if it was a Cabernet or a Merlot. Anyway, so Jesus says this, I am the Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not near. Then said unto them, nation in your eyes against nation, kingdom against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Look at this one. This is what I call a supernatural bone. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. So you're living in Jerusalem. How do you know that? You have to go, excuse me, Jesus, I have a problem with this one, because how would I know if an earthquake happens in Rome? Well, you wouldn't. Unless a ship came in and go, yeah, 6 months ago we had this really bad earthquake. Now my iPhone pings every time there's an earthquake. Earthquakes in diverse places. I call that a supernatural bone. He gives us a supernatural clue, because that's absurd. How would you know about earthquakes in diverse places? You wouldn't. But now we do. You know, we know earthquakes are all over the earth. They're rising like this. You'll see that in the presentation. So let's walk through this, because I only have so much time, and I've already... Okay. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. The time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. This came from an email from some guy. I am El Elyon, HaMashiach, spoken of in Isaiah. Go down to the bottom. What I would like to do is have a lie detector polygraph and an analyst present, and I have about 45 to 50 pre-recorded questions that I would like to answer for the world and have your platform presented. If you're interested, get back to me. You're the only person I presented this to, because the Spirit of the Most High God led me to your channel. So he thinks he's the second coming of Jesus. Welcome to my world. This is the Russian Messiah. He looks the part. Notice the robes, the goofy grin. Oh, sorry. Let me see here. Notice the costumes. Notice the adulation. Some women are breaking down. Look at the emotion. Some women are crying. Notice the costumes. Notice the blissed out look. There's a woman in the back crying right there. Notice the costume. If you're ever in a place like this where everybody's dressed up in costumes, run to the nearest exit, seriously. Notice the goofy Jesus grin that he's got. The long hair, the robes, the whole deal. He's the Russian Messiah. Now he's praying. Of course, he's completely bankrupt. He has nothing. He's an imposter. He's, in my opinion, he's 100% demon-possessed. There's more costumes. Now we're singing songs. Look, I was in a cult. I was with Guru Maharaji when I was 21. Oops. Sorry. Careful, L.A. I was in a cult, Guru Maharaji, when I was 21 years old, and I thought he was the Lord of the universe. I thought he was God incarnate. I remember telling my parents, God, this is good, like Jesus incarnated, this is God. God the Father is here. He was 14 years old. Now he's like, so I was like, what, 21, 7, 8 years different. So he's in his mid-60s. He hasn't done anything in a while. He's not God. I left the ashram. I left the guru. The light bulb went off when I realized, after 3 years of meditating, of giving up everything, of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and worshiping the guru and meditating and all this stuff, I was the same schmuck I always was. Nothing had changed internally. Now, as a Christian, I can say my sin nature was still intact. My sin nature, I was not forgiven. I would die in my sins unless I would come to the Lord. And that was when I was 30 years old, which is 44 years ago, I gave my life to Christ and everything changed. I'm now forgiven. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am the head and not the tail. I mean, you could go on and on and on. But I'm born again. My spirit has been renewed, born again for the first time. With the guru, nothing changed. But all these people are they're looking for something, and they get sucked into this, just like I was sucked in. So why I can make kind of poke fun of it, maybe I shouldn't poke so much fun, because these people are in bondage, and they will die in their sins. This one guy wanted to, he was actually living in Hawaii. He was a follower of Guru Maharaj, and I knew him. So he called up, and he was looking for a place to stay for 2 weeks because he was coming over from Hawaii. He had a job in the Los Angeles area, and all the guru's followers, no one would take this guy in. We did. We took him in for 2 weeks. And I had, you know, two daughters at the time. They're pretty young, and Peggy and I. And we took the guy in, and he ate with us. He watched us and everything else. The last night he was there, his name was John. The last night he was there, he looked at me and he said, I've watched you like a hawk, watched you interact with your family and your wife and the prayer, and you've got something. I don't know what it is. You've got something that's different from meditation and the guru. I don't know what it is, but I want that. And I said, well, John, you'll die in your sins unless you come to Jesus. And he looked at me, was shocked by that. And he didn't come that night, but 2 weeks later, he gave his life to the Lord. You know, not me, him. Praise the Lord all day long. So, but he knew. He could see it. He knew something was different. And he waited by all the guru's followers who wouldn't take him in for 2 weeks. And yet, you know, the Christian brother did. And he ate at our table. And he became one of the family. So this guy is Alan John Miller. He believes he is Jesus. And the woman next to him is Mary Magdalene. So I want to show you this. This is the Brazilian Jesus. And they're popping up like weeds, folks. Check this out.
He says he is Jesus Christ, and now he is back in Brazil. Henry Cristo, as he calls himself,
notice
has been
the costume.
Preaching this belief for 30 years now.
Qual foi a posição que eu ocupei na Terra no passado quando ele considerou relevante?
Whoever he was born in Brazil with the name Alvaro Thais to farmers with a German heritage. In 1969, he decided he was Nostradamus. And then a decade later, he claims he had a vision that said he was Jesus. Not everyone is as convinced as he is. Thais has been thrown out of the United States and several other countries for his controversial views. He was sent to jail in Brazil in the 1980s for vandalizing a cathedral. Henry's preaching took him abroad. He's 60 years old now, and he uses the tools of his time to spread his message, like Facebook and Twitter and popular music.
Eu sempre quero mais, mais. Aprendizado, luz e paz. Informe, saiba a verdade e acorde. Acesse o site agora, tem as respostas na hora. Tem...
When he's not doing the occasional talk show, he's inside his compound with his so-called disciples, administering to his several hundred followers, mostly women.
Okay, I think you get the point. For lack of time, we'll move on. This is AJ Miller. I am the Australian Jesus. Follow me.
I've been given exclusive access to what the media has described as one of the world's most worrying cult leaders.
This guy's dangerous.
Alan John Miller.
Actually, I've had a 2,000-year life, and my name is Jesus as well. So I was born Jesus of Nazareth in the first century.
He has been compared to David Koresh, the cult leader whose followers died in a mass fire at Waco. He's been described as the face of evil, with apocalyptic predictions for the end of the world. He breaks up marriages and uses his followers for sexual favours.
A friend of mine came to me one day and he said, I met this bloke and I reckon he's Jesus.
You know, how arrogant.
I have read he has a compound and his followers are setting up home with him. Alan John Miller, or AJ as he likes to be known, believes he is Jesus and he's deadly serious.
the Roman soldiers weren't certain as to whether I'd died or not yet, and so they actually speared the side of my body up into the heart.
And the world's media are taking note as he broadcasts his teachings on the net.
I'm Jesus, but most people call me AJ or Alan John Miller.
So this happened in 1982. This was the headlines in the LA Times, New York Times, London Times, and papers all throughout Europe. The Christ is now here. It was Maitreya. It was the church actually rose up against this and spoke against it, which is pretty amazing. But this guy, Benjamin Krem, is now passed away. I've interviewed the successor on the show and cross swords with her, as she likes to say. And I would just say, you know, I asked her point blank, I said, well, why should we believe in Maitreya? Why should we believe in this guy? You know, isn't this just the same old thing that we've had endlessly repeated throughout the centuries? So it is with great pleasure that we share with you information about the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher for all humanity. We believe that in time, Maitreya will be seen as fulfilling the expectations of the world's traditions, religions, or non-religious for a coming one, whether it's Christ, Messiah, the fifth Buddha, Krishna, or the Imam Mahdi. At this time of great political, economic, and social crisis, Maitreya will inspire humanity to see itself as one family and create a civilization based on sharing, economic and social justice, peace, and global cooperation. That's never going to happen. But that's what this guy has been saying. This is a film which just came out, and this is recent, and it deals with some of what we just talked about. So this is Henry Cristo. This is updated. Notice the.
Como que você vai explicar a emoção que você teve quando você viu Cristo pela primeira vez?
Я его потрогал и был очень удовлетворен. Мне как-то проникся.
This is the Russian Messiah.
Als ich das Foto aber gesehen habe, habe ich einfach gesagt, ja, Mama, das ist er für mich.
Notice the costumes.
I get a nice feeling because here we are allowed to be sacred.
Are you ready for that? The first time I'm told I'm Jesus was on a mushroom trip.
Why do you want that name?
Jesus.
I wouldn't say he's not, you know. Doesn't seem to be anybody else that's claiming as strongly as he is.
If you want me to believe that you're Jesus bloody Christ, bloody prove it to me.
Дело в том, что Бог никогда ни с кем не разговаривал и разговаривать не может.
Qual seria o sinal da minha volta? Quando ouvirdes falar de guerras, rumores de guerras, reino contra reino, nação contra nação. I know in my own heart that I'm Jesus Christ. You know, it's weird to me.
So here's the deal. When these things begin to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. They're not imitating Buddha. They're not saying they're Muhammad. They're not saying they're Krishna. They're not saying they're any of the Hindu gods. Who are they saying they are? They're all saying that they're Jesus. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. How many of you believe that we are living in a time where we're seeing this? Raise your hand. That's prophecy. Check. Check. There it is. It's right there. And the reason why I'm showing you this is to tie it into what Jesus is saying. To give, there's the biblical base, there's the prophecy. Jesus says 2,000 years ago, many will come in my name. And many have come in his name. Obviously, they're not him. And that's just a handful. I mean, it just, the list continues and it continues to grow. So when you see these things, build a bomb shelter, get an AK-47, stockpile food and water, and, you know, don't trust anybody. No, look up. Look up. Keep our hands on the plow. Keep our hands on the plow, not looking back. Keep working. Keep doing what we're doing, believing that we are in the last days. But I'm looking up. I mean, I am so expectant. I'm thinking maybe the spring of 2025. Don't know. Not a date setter here. But I will say this. I believe Hamas, well, let me get to that later. But I believe we're going to see things die down, and in the spring, all hell's going to break loose. That's just conjecture on my part. So let's go. But when you hear wars and commotions, be not terrified. These things must first come to pass. But the end is not near. Then said Jesus unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, wars and rumors of wars, down with Israel. Here we go. Hamas tunnels of terror. Do you realize that the millions of dollars that was sent into Gaza to build schools and hospitals and all this nonsense is built to build the terror tunnels? That's all they were built. And then you go to the Arab street and you see, oh, all these poor kids, they're all starving and blah, 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 there's no school. Excuse me, October 7th. Let's just start there. Let's just start with October 7th. 1,200 people massacred, killed. A couple of hundred taken as hostages. Has Hamas laid down its arms yet? No. Did they kill Sinwar? Yes. They're not stopping. Why should Israel stop? You tell me. Who started this thing? And you know, in Gaza could be the Beirut of the Mediterranean. Beirut used to be like the Paris it wouldn't be Paris. What's a coastal city? It doesn't matter. But the jewel of that area. It's right on the coast. It's beautiful. I've never been to Beirut, but I've been to the Mediterranean in Israel. It's just amazing. Where Gaza is, you could build hotels. I mean, that could be a tourist place like you wouldn't believe. It's beautiful. Instead, they build millions of dollars of terror tunnels. And they finally get Sinwar. What a weasel that guy was. What a murderer. Rotten hell, Sinwar, because that's where you are. I really believe that's where you are. How many people did that guy kill and torture and brutally murder? Are you kidding me? So anyway, Hamas tunnels of terror. All that money completely gone. Let me get out of here, a private relay in action. Syrian war. We have no idea how many dead in that civil war, which has been going on for decades. This came, the message came to me concerning Damascus. This is Isaiah 17. Damascus is still there. However, when you look at this, and this was taken years ago, the area around Damascus has become a ruinous heap. Damascus city is still intact. When the whole thing with the Israeli war started on October 7th, over a year ago now, the Israelis said to the Iranians and everybody else, if you do this, we will destroy Damascus. If you come at us, we will destroy Damascus. It's Isaiah 17. I believe it's future. I believe we're looking at it. But when you look at the devastation, and you're not shown this, and I'm going to be bagging on this the rest of the time. Why didn't you see this? How many people have seen this video? Anybody in the room? Of course not. Because our media is completely controlled. We only see what they want us to see. That's it. So we never see this. We never see this. We never see the actual destruction in and around Damascus. We never see really what's going on. In order to find anything out about Israel, I've got to go the Times of India. I go to I-24. I go offshore to find anything. But you can't find anything. But we know everything about Kim Kardashian, everything about Taylor Swift, everything about King Charles and Kate Spedder and her first public appearance and Medea Morning and all this other nonsense, which has nothing to do with anything. But look over here. Keep looking here. Don't pay any attention to what's going on there, because it really doesn't concern you. Oh, yes, it does. It concerns us all day long. Because where's all our, where's this aid? Why is this war happening? How many thousands and ten thousands of people have been slaughtered, and for what? This is the whole deal with the missile strike. This is where Iran is beginning to saber rattle. This gets into the Shia Crescent, which I'll get into in just a minute. Then we get ISIS beheads 21 Christians, promises to conquer Rome, and you know, under Trump, ISIS basically sort of disintegrated, but who knows where it's at now. Man attacks Coptic church, killing 11. Iran, why the hatred? It makes no sense whatsoever. Iran tests ballistic missiles carrying the message, Israel must be wiped out. I wrote this in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural book, which is out of print. I've been threatening to reprint this for the last 4 years. I just haven't gotten to it because I have to rewrite it and make a second edition and bring it up to date. Let me just get the quote right. The Holy Spirit gave me this quote. It's actually in the front of the book. If I can't get it, I'll pass and just move on. I can't believe I can't remember it. Maybe I'm not supposed to say it. But basically, the bottom line was this, that there were supernatural events which colored the body politic. So let me put it to you this way. Supernatural events. Why are we all in this building? Because of a supernatural event that happened 2,000 years ago. What was that? The death and resurrection of Jesus. That has colored the body politic. We are all the offspring of the Protestant Reformation. That's what we are. So our whole basis of life, the Constitution, the idea of liberty, and that our rights come from God, springboard from that comes from the Protestant Reformation, not from Catholicism. Absolutely not. Just look at South America. The rights that we have, inalienable rights, come from God. Not from the government, not from the church. They come from God. That's astounding. But similarly, supernatural events have colored the body politic in Iran. They believe in the Iman Mahdi. They believe in the teachings of Muhammad. What was all that? That was a supernatural occurrence. The angel allegedly appearing to Muhammad. Has that colored the body politic? Absolutely. So you have two different supernatural events happening thousands of years apart. You've got Moses receiving the Torah, which creates, you know, the whole law, and Israel becomes a nation and all of this, right? That has colored the body politic in Israel. They're not Christians. They believe in the Mosaic Law. They believe in the Law of Moses. They believe in the Tanakh. They believe in the Torah. Similarly, in Iran, Saudi Arabia, all the different Muslim countries, even though there's a difference between Shia and Sunni, they believe in a set of supernatural events. It has colored the body politic. And no one ever talks about this. That's why the hatred. That's why the hatred. It makes no sense in a million years. Because if they all could get along, that place would be incredible. But you can't. They can't all get along. The Sunni Muslim, which is the majority, hate the Shia Muslim. Iran is Shia. That's why we get the Shia Crescent. So the Sunni Muslims, which is the majority, that's where Mecca and Medina are, the Sunni Muslims don't get along with the Shia Muslims. Make note of that. Because you'll see why this is important in just a little bit. But supernatural events have colored the body politic. Make no mistake about that. Supernatural events that we believe in have colored the body politic in America, in England, all throughout Europe, everywhere. Animism in Africa, supernatural event. It has colored the body politic. In India, all the multiple gods, it has colored the body politic. So supernatural events, which happened in some cases millennia ago, have colored the body politic globally, and this is why the tension. This is why the hatred. This is why the tension between the Iranians, who are Shia Muslim, who believe in one set of supernatural events, and the Israelis, who believe in the Law of Moses. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. I want to show you this clip. This was done years ago when Mohamed Morsi was running for president, and he was elected in Egypt. I guarantee, well, has anybody seen this clip? Okay, good. Watch this.
أحقق بإذن الله على يد الدكتور محمد مرسي ومن معه من إخوانه وجماعته وحزبه. رأينا الحلم الكبير الذي نحلم به جميعا. الولايات المتحدة العربية. الولايات المتحدة العربية ستعود إن شاء الله. ستعود الولايات المتحدة العربية على يد هذا الرجل ومن معه إن شاء الله. ستكون عاصمة الخلافة. ستكون عاصمة الولايات المتحدة العربية هي القدس إن شاء الله. ستكون عاصمتنا ليست القاهرة ولا مكة ولا المدينة وإنما القدس إن شاء الله وسيكون هتافنا على القدس رايحين شهداء بالملايين على القدس رايحين
شهداء بالملايين
على القدس رايحين شهداء بالملايين على القدس
رايحين شهداء بالملايين.
Watch the lyrics to the song.
رايحين شهداء بالملايين.
Right here. Millions of martyrs march towards the
ages.
من عيون كل اليهود طيار النعاس.
الناس يلا يا عشاء الشهادة كلكم حماس من عيون كل اليهود يلا يا عشاء الشهادة كلكم حماس من عيون كل اليهود
طيار
النعاس يلا يا عشاء الشهادة
كلكم حماس
ونقولها من هنا من المحلة من قلب الدلتا من قلب مصر وليسمع العالم جميعا ولن نوري ولن نواري ولن نداهن نعم هدفنا القدس سنصلي في القدس أو ننال الشهادة على أعتاب القدس
الله
على القدس رايحين شهداء بالملايين على القدس
رايحين شهداء بالملايين.
Why didn't you see that? Why haven't you seen that? Why hasn't our media shown you that? Because that's the face of Islam. And if I say that, I'm an Islamophobe, right? No, I'm not. All I'm doing is showing you what they're saying. Banish the sleep from the eyes of all Jews. That Jerusalem will be our goal. Jerusalem will be our capital. Come on, all you lovers of martyrdom. That's all I'm doing. And you can't find this clip anymore. It's been taken down. You can't find it. Gee, I wonder why. Why haven't you seen that? Why instead has our media and our politicians shown you that clip? Because when you see that clip, it's indefensible. You can't possibly defend that. And that's the face of it. Does anybody in this room think that that's changed since Morsi became president and then was promptly kicked out 6 months later because they didn't want Sharia? But that's the mindset. To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. That's not going to change. It's never going to change till Jesus returns. End of story. This is where we are. And shame on our media. See, this. Remember when Vietnam happened? The reason why the people rose up is because the media actually did their job, for the most part. Right? Remember that? They actually showed, today in Vietnam, 50 people were killed, 50 soldiers were killed, and 150 Vietnamese soldiers. I'm ultra cranky. And that's what they used to do. But we had the news. We had the news. We had something, at least a modicum of it. That clip should be shown in every single church in America. Absolutely, it should be shown on the 6 o'clock news, Fox News, CNN, because that's the face of Islam. That's who these people are. To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. So they're just making this up? I think not. I think not. Has anything changed? October 7th. Look what Turkey is saying towards Israel. Look at the vitriol from Iran. Has anything changed? You tell me. And then the assassination squad from Iran to kill Trump. If they do that, that's World War III. Obama back to the Stone Age. I think what we're looking at is Ezekiel 38. I think this war, which has been going on since October 7th, and all the players are there on the stage. It hasn't happened yet. And I think conjecture on my part, but I follow this like religiously, two or three times a day to get my news to find out what's going on over in Israel. I think they will clean out. I already stated this. They will finish the war in Gaza. They have to. They're going to bring it to an end probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks. That'll be it. They'll completely wipe out what's left of Hamas, completely. I predict that Hezbollah will retreat back to the Litani River, 15 miles, which is what they've already agreed on. That was the UN proposition. They've already agreed on that. That was supposed to be what they were supposed to do. They didn't. They're right up on the border. So they're going to go back to the Litani. Hey, we're sorry, blah, blah, blah. Iran will tuck its tail between its legs, and there'll be peace, a false peace for a little bit of time. Things will go back to normal. In the spring, all hell's going to break loose. That's the time kings go to war. That gives everybody time to regroup. Now, why is this picture so important? Because Raisi, who was assassinated, he's no longer here. That's the Iranian. He is Shia Muslim. Next to him is the president of Turkey, Erdogan. He's Sunni Muslim, and there's Putin. That's Ezekiel 38, folks, right there. That's Turkey, Iran, and Russia coalescing on the same stage. Never before have I seen that. Never before. So Raisi has gone out of the picture, but Russia has parked some of its fleet in the Iranian waters. Turkey is already saber-rattling against Israel. Do we really think for a second that the age-old saying in In the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's what holds true. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Who is the common enemy? Where's all this trouble starting from? It's those Jews. If we just eliminate the Jews, everything will be great, blah, blah, blah. They need to read Ezekiel 38 on the mountains of Israel. And those nations that were listed in Ezekiel 38, the three top ones are Turkey, Russia, and Iran. That's what it is, Persia. And here we are. And there they are. When I saw that picture, I just went, oh my gosh, that's where I think it's going. And when that happens, all hell's going to break loose. So now we get, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. All these goofy kids in college, they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea of what happened at the end of World War I, 1917. So this was the old Turkish Empire, 400 years. It ruled the entire Middle East. And so when the Turks sided with the Germans and the Germans lost World War I, the British and the French came in, they carved up the Middle East, right? So the modern nations that we see today of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Israel, Palestine, were created. The borders were just drawn up. They were created. And three Hashemite kings, the Hashemites of the direct descendants of Muhammad, were installed in Iraq, in Syria, and in Jordan. We all know what happened with Iraq with the Ba'ath Party. The Hashemite king was kicked out. Same thing in Syria, kicked out. But the Hashemite king is still in Jordan. Hashem is the uncle of Muhammad, direct descendant of Muhammad, the Hashemites. So that's what they did. And the Hashemite kingdom is still there. So all these countries, including Israel, and this was Palestine. This was what Israel was supposed to get. And they just kept shrinking it and shrinking it and shrinking it till before the Six-Day War. And they took over the West Bank. So when people stand up and go, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free and all this other stuff, and the Jews have no rights of the land, okay, I get this. Let's all go back to pre-World War I, and we'll make this all part of the Turkish Empire again, the Ottoman Empire. Let's just do that. That would be fair for everybody, right? Because after all this was the Ottoman Empire, and the Brits and the French came in and carved it up. This is why it's not taught, and this is why the kids stand up and yell this kind of crazy stuff, because they don't know their history. They don't know their history. All these nations were just created out of thin air after World War I. All the modern nations, and I've already stated them. So the bottom line is this: Israel has a right to the land, the Balfour Declaration, 1917. Israel has just as much right to that land. It is their ancient homeland. It fulfills the prophecy that I stated before. I will gather the captives of my people, Israel. There it is. Check. They all came back. On the ashes of the Holocaust, they came back. Think about that. On the ashes of the Holocaust. Hitler knew who the Jews were. If Hitler had succeeded, there would be no Jew left on the planet. Why? It's move, counter-move. The protocols of the heavenly war, we don't understand the significance of it in some ways. But the bottom line is this, that if Hitler wipes out the Jews, prophecy will not be fulfilled, and Israel will never be a homeland again. Israel will never be created. Checkmate, I win. That's what's at stake here. And you say, well, why does God allow this? Why does God allow Auschwitz to begin with? Why does God allow the carnage that we see? It's like, how many people have had a root canal here? Okay, most everybody in the room. How many people woke up this morning thinking about that root canal? Anybody? Right? Get where I'm going with this? You know, you don't wake up thinking that. When he returns and he heals the nations and he heals us, we will no longer remember the things of the past. They will fade away because of his glory. Because of his glory. All the hurt, all the tears, everything gets wiped away. I can't wait. I got stuff in my own life that, gone, right? So let's continue, because we're still on wars and rumors of wars. October 7th, 2023, absolutely unprecedented. This is the northern border of Israel. Hezbollah is all over that place, the airstrikes, the drones, and everything else. Gaza is a preventive war. They cannot surrender. Israel cannot back off until they have eradicated all of Hamas. That's it. And as I said earlier, just a few minutes ago, Hamas has not surrendered. Even with the loss of Sinwar, even though they've got their butts kicked for the last year, the hatred of the Jews trumps any type of logic. They're still believing that they're going to pull some kind of a miracle out of this thing. That's the northern border. We were supposed to be in Israel on October 7th. I said this over the weekend. We were supposed to be in Israel on October 7th. We were going to fly from Oklahoma City at the conference that I was speaking at, to Atlanta, Georgia, bivouac there for 24 hours, then fly to Israel. We had 50 people sign up for the On the Trail of a Nephilim tour. The whole thing was canceled because we spend most of the tour in northern Israel looking at the dolmens, Gilgal Raphaim, all these ancient megalithic sites, which are Nephilim sites. So we never went. And, you know, they kept going, well, you know, maybe in the fall. In the fall, it's even worse than it was last fall. But we're still in fall. So in the fall of 2024, the rocket fire, and remember, 60,000 to 70,000 Israelis have been displaced from the northern part of Israel, and you're living in hotels. I mean, seriously, no one ever talks about that. Let's continue. So Gaza is a preventive war. Israel nearing all-out war, foreign minister, true. It's heating up. It could still happen. I mean, you know, everything is extremely unstable. Nothing has really changed. This happened a while back, 12 children dead, many in critical condition, after Hezbollah rocket hit soccer field in a Druze town. Israel-Hamas war, IDF strikes at terrorists. I think you guys get the point. So look at this. Look at the far left. The Korean War is $138 billion. Look at the Russia war, Russia-Ukraine war, $46.6 billion. More than the war in Afghanistan. Are you kidding me? And no one says a peep about this? No one says anything? It's always scary. Medics in Ukraine, the meat grinder, reveal brutal reality on the front line. I talked about this yesterday. You go into the meat grinder, you send your kid off to the Ukrainian army, they send him up to the front lines into the meat grinder, and he's basically, he returns in a body bag. Just what's left of him. He's blown the smithereens. That's why they call it the meat grinder, because that's what it is. And all that money, all of our taxpayer money, do we know anything about Ukraine? Do we know anything about what's really going on over there? Does the media tell us anything about it? But we know everything about Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian and the royals over in England, blah, 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 blah. But we know nothing about this. And meanwhile, $46.6 billion, not a penny more. Not a penny more. End the stinking thing. We'll see what Trump does. This is the Shia Crescent. You can see Iran and goes into Syria and goes down to Yemen. What's been happening since the war on October 7th? In Lebanon, they're firing all the rockets. And down here, the Houthis in Yemen have been firing rockets into Israel. If you lived in, let's say, El Paso, and they were firing rockets into El Paso every single day, would you put up with that? What would you say? What would you to ask your government to do? Seriously? But for some reason, for some weird, strange reason, it's okay for all these nations to fire rockets and everything else. You know, Iran, the latest barrage of rockets and everything else that was fired from Iran into Israel. Yeah, they got them all. I mean, I get that. Seriously? Can you imagine living here and you look up in the morning and there's all these rockets going overhead and then our rockets are taking their rockets down and all this stuff and you go, what's going on here? That's what's going on here. And the media, for the most part, really doesn't touch on it. But that's the Shia Crescent. And the thing is, and I scratch my head and wonder, why haven't they attacked at the same time? What's wrong with these people? Don't they understand that Hezbollah still has at least 100,000 rockets? Iran's got a lot of rockets. Yemen, if they all fired at the same time, Israel can't get them all. But they don't do that. Hezbollah will fire, Iran will fire, the Houthis will fire. It's not coordinated. You got to scratch your head and go, what's wrong with these people? Why aren't they running a war to destroy, if they really wanted to win it, wouldn't they do that? Muslim leaders blast Israel crimes. Iran, solution is Palestine from river to the sea. So there it is. That's the Arab street. And remember, the Iranians are not Arabs. So, but that's the solution. Palestine from the river to the sea. Houthis will not stop Red Sea attacks until Israel ends Gaza war. Israel preps for war with Hezbollah. That's what's going on now. Hezbollah will be next. Or I'm sorry, Lebanon will be next. And it just continues. Interestingly enough, the Iranians are shipping their missiles and arms to Baalbek. Baalbek is an ancient megalithic site, a Nephilim site. You are looking at the largest stones ever placed in a foundation. Gives you an idea of what we're looking at here. And this is what's interesting. And Joshua, this is from the Bible now, this is from Joshua 11, 21, 22. And Joshua came at the end and cut off all the Anakim. Who are the Anakim? The Anakim of the Nephilim. One of the Nephilim tribes. What are the Nephilim? The progeny of fallen angels and human women, creating a hybrid entity known as the Nephilim. This is, and if you, I don't have time to get into this, get the tapes on Friday night. I did 2.5 hours on this. 2.5 hours. We've got tons of resources out of the table, although most of it's gone. But the Nephilim, once again, are the progeny, the offspring of fallen angels and human women, creating a hybrid known as the Nephilim. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the dragon, the offspring of the dragon, the offspring of Satan, will be at war, at enmity, with the offspring of the woman. The one coming from the woman will crush the dragon's head, you will bruise his heel. That's the gateway to the entire biblical narrative. So what we see here is this. Get this. This is from Joshua. And it makes you wonder, right? Scratch your head. And Joshua came at the time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir and Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. Stop right there. Why does Joshua devote them to destruction? Because they are not human. They are the mixture of the seed. That's why when you get to Canaan, if we don't know what Genesis 3:15 says, when we arrive at the conquest of Canaan, it appears to be genocide, but it's not genocide. These are hybrid entities that are soulless. Again, I did 2.5 hours on this on Friday because it's the gateway to the Bible. And in most churches, it's taught here. It's taught here. That's why I'm here. Thank you, Steve. But in most churches, it's not taught, so people have no idea of what the seed war is, Genesis 3:15, how it relates to Genesis 6, how it relates to the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, how it relates to the conquest of Canaan, how it relates to Daniel 2:43, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. It's all right there. It screams at us. But if you don't know it, if you're not taught, then you don't know it. And we become ignorant. And we wonder, well, what's he talking about? Get this. Here's the punchline. Joshua devoted them to the destruction with their cities. There was none of the Anakim, Nephilim tribe, which means long neck, by the way, left in the land of the people of Israel. Only in Gaza. Think about that, folks. They never cleared the Nephilim tribes out in Gaza. I am not saying that Hamas is Nephilim. What I am saying is this, that Gaza has a territorial spirit that has been over that region, over that land, for thousands and thousands of years. This is why we see the absolute horrific atrocities on October 7th, because the hatred has been boiling for centuries. Conjecture? I don't think so at this point. Let's continue, because I know time is... Let me see what my time is here. How much time do I have? Where's Steve? How much time? It's 11:25 now. No, it's 12:25. Steve, how much? No, I can't hear you. You're mumbling, Steve. Okay, I'll try to make this as quickly as possible. So the bottom line is this, that the wars and rumors of wars are happening. I could spend the next 3 hours on this. I won't. I think you get my point. I won't belabor it. Financial collapse? Let's go back here. We are, what, $35 trillion in debt? How can you pay that back? You tell me. You want to collapse the country? Do that. Then the BRICS nations, which are coming in. By the way, Turkey has recently wanted to join the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Why is this alarming? Because the petrodollar trades oil on the open market in dollars, in the petrodollar. So right now, we're still trading, but some of these nations are not trading oil in petrodollars. What is the lifeblood of the planet? It's oil. The two waterways that I showed you, the Strait of Hormuz in Iran and the Gate of Tears, where the Houthis control, that controls about 50 to 60% of the world's oil. Oil is the lifeblood of the planet. Shut those waterways down and you've got a financial collapse on your hand. Right? See what's wrong with going? It's wars and rumors of wars and everybody's positioning. I find it incredibly alarming. So moving right along, Russia is protecting its only Middle Eastern allies. Of course, that would be Iran. When these things begin to happen, look up. Famines. This is the face of famine right here. Hunger hotspots. This is the face of famine, and it's happening. Pestilence. 39 million people have died from AIDS. How many people from coronavirus? 7 million, something like that, whatever. 8 million, 10 million people. But what we're seeing is other stuff happening from people who took the jab. I'll just leave it at that. So how many of us have not had a family member or a loved one die from COVID? Events like Fukushima. Get this. So today marks the 5th anniversary of the tragic and catastrophic meltdown of the Fukushima nuclear plant on March 11, 2011. And it goes on from there. It was the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl, and according to some, it would be far worse if the Japanese government did not cover up the true severity of the devastation. Look at this on the very top. The fuel rods melted through the containment, and nobody knows where they are now. So the fuel rods, that's where all the radioactive material is. It's melted through the containment. Don't eat the sushi. That's the bottom line. And no one talks about it. You hear nothing about it. And it's ongoing. And, you know, they got all this water to the waste. They got to cool the reactors and all this crazy stuff. No one knows where the fuel rods are. I mean, you see this is why I call this presentation Days of Chaos, because it is. Then you get super volcanoes. You get the stuff like in Iceland, like the Eyjafjallajökull volcano. If that thing erupts, it can close the airspace down over Europe for days, if not weeks and months. That's what it looks like. An EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon. This is my greatest fear, because the Iranians could do that. All they need to do is get a barge, retrofit it, have a missile. They've already got the missiles. Put a nuclear device, an EMP, blast that thing out from the Gulf of Mexico over the heartland, Oklahoma, detonate that thing. The EMP pulse goes out. Guess what? Your car doesn't start. Your radio doesn't work. We just had a blackout. We came from a blackout because of the Santa Ana winds at our house. So Southern California Edison just shut off all the power. Now, I've got a generator, so we kept the refrigerator going. We could put lights on, blah, 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 but there's no internet. No radio, no internet, no lights. I'm running off a generator with gasoline. An EMP, because they don't have a Faraday cave over that, the generator wouldn't work. So that's why we keep a generator in a metal building. That's a Faraday cage. So at least I can start the generator. But if an EMP starts or it happens, it's toast. I don't think we're going to see that. But people in the tribulation might go through something like that. I don't know. Earthquakes in diverse places. You can see that earthquakes are on the rise. They are increasing. The abortion holocaust, 1 billion aborted babies look like. I talked about this yesterday. And Biden makes the sign of the cross while rallying for abortion access, which is absolutely insane. So what does 1 billion people aborted babies look like? Okay, so you start in the Arctic Circle, you go to Nome, Alaska. You go to Toronto. You go to Washington State. You go to Washington, D.C. You go to Los Angeles. You go to Miami. You go to Mexico City. You go down through Central America. You go to Lima, Peru. Finally, you wind up at Tierra del Fuego, all the way down at the southern part of Argentina, right? So from the North Pole to Tierra del Fuego, that's 1 billion people. They're not there. You get that? Because I can't get my head around a billion people either. But when I say it like that, I realize, oh my gosh, that's a billion babies killed in the Holocaust. You don't think, it's never talked about, the blood of the innocents. I have pictures of what it actually looks like. I won't show them to you. They are incredibly troubling. 1 billion. The blood of the innocent. You don't think that changes anything? You don't think the blood of the innocents? What did the worship of Baal demand? The blood of the children. This is what this is. This is the Democrats' sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. This is what these guys believe in. It's the most insane thing on the planet. Why are we even talking about this? Have you lost your mind? It's a woman's right to choose, reproductive freedom, blah, 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 blah. Your right to choose, my right to choose is when you come together. Birth control is really cheap. Most people can, everybody can afford it. So, I mean, it's a hot button issue, but 1 billion? 1 billion? There'd be nobody in North America, South America, nobody. Everybody would just be wasteland. Nobody. That's what 1 billion people look like. Are those the souls underneath the altar that are crying out? I don't know. You tell me. How long, Lord? How long? I don't know. Could be. That's what I think they are. That's changed everything. You want to know why everything on this planet's gone nutso? Because of the 1 billion aborted babies. That's a Luciferian, ritualistic blood sacrifice to Lucifer. That's what it is. We can tap dance around that. We can say that these doctors, they're not Satanists, blah, blah, blah. That is what they're doing. It's a blood sacrifice. And I'll just say this and I'll move on. The babies are torn apart in the womb, okay? That's how it's done, limb from limb. I mean, it's the most, the fact that I'm even talking about this, it just drives me nuts. It's insanity. It's absolute insanity. He's got to come back. He's got to come back. Okay, let me move on. Then you get this. You get the whole gay marriage thing. Watch what this guy says.
Is holy.
This is a pastor.
There has been an assault on the rights of drag performers in this country, and we must call out the hypocrisy and the injustice. Jesus called himself a mother hen longing to gather up her chicks. Gender is a construct, you see. And if Jesus can be a mother hen, then you can dress in drag. I've even heard it said that Jesus was, and humanity is, God in drag. So let me say this again for those of you in the back. Drag is holy.
I mean, what do you do with that, folks? I mean, seriously? Just, you know, what do you do with that? I wrote a whole piece on this in the Prophecy Watchers magazine. This is absolutely blasphemous. Now, the Da Vinci Last Supper is not the way this was. The Da Vinci Last Supper is actually blasphemous. First of all, it's not a Seder. Jesus would not be in the middle. They weren't sitting, they were reclining. This is supposed to be an M, like you see here. That's the letter M. Da Vinci knows this is an occult painting. Okay, this is what it is. So this is supposed to be Mary Magdalene. This hand comes out of nowhere. You'll see the dagger down in here. It's a completely occult painting. It has nothing to do with what the Last Supper really looked like. The Last Supper was a holy, holy meal. It was a Passover meal. And when Jesus takes the afikoman and breaks that and he goes, this is my body? Are you kidding me? And I don't have time to get in what a Seder is, but look it up yourself and spend an hour realizing that when Jesus is in the Seder meal, this is my body, and he breaks the afikoman. This is a holy, sacred moment in all of history because he knows what he's about to do. This is my body broken for you, which is what's going to happen in 3 hours. And then they give us this, the opening. This is blasphemous. It's blasphemous, even though they're mocking Da Vinci's painting, which in itself is blasphemous, but they don't know better. They're just mocking Christianity. They're mocking Jesus, and they make him a woman. This is where we are. And of course, if you say anything against it, you're a homophobe. How about my rights as a Christian? How about when I'm offended? Does that count for anything in this goofy country? Does anybody care? I wrote a whole article on this in the Prophecy Watchers magazine. You got Baphomet in Oklahoma City. You got lawlessness. Taylor Swift accused of performing demonic rituals at her concerts. I had to black it out because the picture was way too seductive. I'm going to continue. This is the coming great deception, the whole UFO phenomena. Oil riggers brought UFOs hovering for 10 minutes. This is our two films on Roswell. I don't have time to get into that. This is real from Jaime Masson. These are UFOs going into Popocatépetl, which is a volcano, active volcano in Mexico. That's a flotilla of UFOs over Mexico City. And this is, let me go back here. This is the best UFO footage I've ever seen. We ran the story in our Watchers series. Dr. Roger Lear gave us the rights to it. We used it. You are seeing a UFO over Lake Kumburgaz in Turkey. There are two entities in it. They are the Greys. We've blown this up. You'll see the heat signature. I don't have time to show you the whole thing. But again, we broke the story with Dr. Roger Lear. It's in our Watchers series. So Congress oversight, I am a sky. I ran this clip yesterday. They're talking about interdimensional entities. I want to show you this, because this is my opinion, and I'm going to wrap this up real soon, about another 10 minutes, okay? So you've got the whole UFO phenomenon, the coming great deception. You've got 1945, the events of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 1947, you have the UFO crash at Roswell, New Mexico. Why Roswell? Because Roswell, New Mexico is the home of the 509th bombing group, which is the only nuclear-capable bombing group on the planet. 1948, Israel becomes a nation, so the entire UFO phenomena takes off like this, and here we are now. Now, it's no longer what Elia Marzulli is saying about this. Your Congress is telling you that the phenomena is real, and I'll show you this clip in a second. Just give me another 10 minutes. Just give me another 10 minutes. I'm going to run this clip and listen very carefully what this woman is saying, okay? Just watch.
Have you ever had, maybe you're in that place right now where you want to turn your life around and you know somewhere deep in your soul there could be some decisions that you have to make. Like, you know, like it's like things, something was decided for you. And instead of trying to make something that is done work, It's like the invitation is to make the decision, commit to that, and to start creating what comes next. But
so what you just saw, that woman talking, she's not real. What you just witnessed was 110% artificial intelligence, AI. That wasn't real. Wasn't real. It was fabricated. So what does Isaiah 59 say? Justice is turned back, right? Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far away. Truth has fallen in the street and honesty cannot come in. In my opinion, this is a line in the sand, like the nuclear line 1945 with AI. We no longer can ascertain what is true and what is fabrication. Someone can take your image, and they're already doing it in junior high school and high school. They can take the image of a beautiful 14, 15-year-old girl and create pornography with her. That's where we are, folks. They can take an image of Ellie Marzulli and have me say the most vile, insane things you could possibly imagine and put it on the internet. How do I defend against that? How would you defend against it if it was your image? You can't. See where we are? We have crossed a Rubicon. We've crossed a line in the sand, a line of demarcation. We can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's over. This is why, in my opinion, he's got to come back. Because you can't fix this. You can't fix this anymore. 25 years ago, I would say, yeah, you can fix it. You just saw the clip with this woman. She's going on and on about change. She's not real. Do you understand that? She's not real. So how can you and I look at anything and ascertain, unless we're boots on the ground, that what we're seeing is true or not? How can we be held accountable for anything at this point? Because you don't know. You don't know what's real and what's AI, what's fabricated. And that clip is a year old. That clip is a year old. And knowledge exponentially, they have stuff now that you just can't tell. You just can't tell. So this is where we are. This is where we are. And it's not going back in the Bible. I will show you this clip. This is what I call predictive programming. This was done at the 2024 Super Bowl. It's a minute and 30 seconds long. You will see what it's advertising at the last 5 seconds. I'm getting close to ending. Bear with me. 2024 Super Bowl. You tell me why they're running this. This is called predictive programming. And I'll just give you a heads up. You'll see a woman walking like this with her cell phone. She sees this, the headline about extraterrestrial being talked about in Congress. She doesn't like that. She scrolls over and there's a cat clawing the toilet paper. She breaks out into a big smile. Then it cuts into, I think Texas is next, but it might not be, but it doesn't matter. Little diner in Texas, man and a woman, elderly couple sitting there. The woman is looking at her cell phone while eating her rancheros, whatever, and it's a celebrity bacon diet. Then it cuts over to France. All these kids are on an Eiffel Tower. Huge UFO comes over. The kids don't see it because they're too busy on their cell phone. Then it goes to the Japanese. The Japanese are in some kind of a meeting. They're on their cell phones. Two UFOs are buzzing like this. No one sees it. By the way, when the woman is scrolling and walking on the streets of New York City, and she gets the cat look up on the upper part, you'll see a UFO fly right over. So from there, the alien with an elongated skull presses a button. So the reason why I've done this, because it's a minute and 30 seconds. I've seen it 30, 40 times, so I know it's there. But this is predictive programming. Why run this on the Super Bowl? And you tell me what they're advertising. You'll see it in the last 5 seconds. Here we go. We start with Walter Cronkite.
Reports of flying saucers are nothing new.
These are routine sightings, not isolated events.
Are you seeing that? It's spinning. There's a whole swarm of them. Oh
my God. New York City, there's the woman.
All against the wind. Yeah.
There's the UFO.
Look at this. That's 110.
Proof of extraterrestrials. No, that doesn't make a difference. It's a cat clawing a toilet paper. Paris, France. The kids are all on their cell phones. Cactus Diner, Celebrity Bacon Diet, the dog is barking at the UFO overhead, Japan, everybody's on their tablets and cell phones, there's the alien with the elongated skull, now he's had it, he presses the button, hello down there, he controls everybody's cell phone and tablet. Now everybody starts looking. They all look up. Watch your expression. That's a mile-wide UFO. She's in awe and wonder. Same thing. They're all standing up in Paris, France. Everyone is looking up. There's Texas, they're blown away. There's Japan. Now here's the punchline, the comedic relief.
Man, why do you have this always happens?
The website makes it real, Squarespace. So all that for 5 seconds. That's called predictive programming. How many of you had your cell phone go beep? It's an Amber Alert, right? They can control your cell phone. See where it's going? And that commercial shows you that this is a global event. It's a Texas diner, New York City, Paris, France, and Japan. They don't have time to do every city on the planet because they only got a minute and 30 seconds. But artistically, they are implying that this is a global event. This is the coming great deception. Here's the punchline. This is where this all is going. I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. The West is flirting with nuclear war. Russia is turning increasingly hostile towards Israel as it picks sides in the Middle East. Russia warns the world is on the brink of a direct military clash between nuclear powers. Russia deploys intercontinental ballistic missiles for combat duty. Here is the halls of Congress with Nancy Mace, representative of South Carolina, asking David Grush, who is a whistleblower, and she's interviewing him, trying to get to the bottom of unidentified aerial phenomena.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to our witnesses who are testifying today. I want to thank each of you for being here to discuss a topic of grave importance to our national security. Earlier this year, a Chinese spy balloon was shot down off the coast of my home state of South Carolina. Since the Roswell incident in 1947, many Americans have wondered about the dangers of unknown objects crisscrossing our skies. Whether these are UAPs or weather phenomena, advanced technology from American allied or enemy forces or something more out of this world. Mr. Grush, a couple of questions for you too, sir, this morning. What percentage of UAPs do you feel are adequately investigated by the U.S. government, of the 5% that are reported?
I can only speak for my personal leadership over at NGA. I tried to look at every report that came through that I could triage. So,
do you believe that officials at the highest levels of our national security apparatus have unlawfully withheld information from Congress and subverted our oversight authority?
There are certain elected leaders that had more information that I'm not sure what they've shared with certain Gang of Eight members or et cetera, but certainly I would not be surprised.
Okay. You've stated that the government is in possession of potentially non-human spacecraft. Based on your experience and extensive conversations with experts, do you believe our government has made contact with intelligent extraterrestrials?
Something I can't discuss in public setting.
Okay, I can't ask when you think this occurred. if you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yeah.
Here it is.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
So what you just heard was non-human biologics were recovered from crash disk from a whistleblower in the halls of Congress. You can call me any name you want. I don't care. I've been called everything. I don't care. But how do you refute that? You've got the information now. Now you're accountable to it. You're all accountable to it. You can't go back and hide under your potluck dinner. Can't do that anymore. Can't do it. Not going to do it. Can't do it. Non-human biologics were recovered by United States people, military people, non-human biologics. Welcome to the Nephilim. Welcome to the end times. Welcome to what's going on. Welcome to the coming great deception. What is Putin and Russia and everybody and the Iranians and everybody else saber-rattling with nukes? You have a nuke going off anywhere on the planet. Here's the punchline. Anywhere on the planet, it creates the greatest collective fear that humanity has ever experienced together. Why? Because if it happens, your cell phone's going to light up. Your tablet's going to light up. And everybody collectively at the same time will be witnessing this. And we're all going, oh my gosh, we're toast. We're toast. Are they going to nuke us all? It creates the greatest collective fear. Who is the author of fear? Exactly. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for a nuke to go off. That's his permission slip to come in and create the great deception. So here's the deal. We go up, they show up. We go up, Sorry. We go up. We go up, they come down. We go up, they show up. When they show up, and remember, this has been promulgated by ancient aliens and other people for decades, talking about that we were seeded here. All life on this planet was seeded by ET, that they genetically manipulated early man. They started the world's religions. They started the world's civilizations. Now at this critical juncture, they are here to usher mankind into some sort of a one-world global government. You tell me where I'm going wrong. And number six, we took those fundamentalists off the planet because they were not ready for the global paradigm shift. So here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. You have a nuke that goes off, it creates the greatest collective fear, okay? We go up, they come down. We go up, they show up. When Elijah the prophet goes up, Elisha sees Elijah go up. It's not a secret. He watches him go up in a whirlwind. When Jesus ascends into heaven, where does he go? How many people watch him go up? All the disciples, maybe 500 people, watch Jesus ascend into where? The clouds. When the two witnesses, Book of Revelation, who are killed and their bodies lay on the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, they are resurrected, and then the entire world watches them do what? Ascend where? Into the clouds. We go up, they come down. We go up, they show up. The rapture of a church, in my opinion, is that's the signal. That's what they're waiting for. This was written a long time ago. It's called Bringers of the Dawn. It's a book by author Barbara Marciniak. I heard this when I was in the New Age 50 years ago. 50 years ago. Listen to what this is channeled information. This is a demon speaking through this woman. She's writing it down. Listen to what the demon says. But it's according to her, it's one of the Pleiadians. The Pleiades are a star cluster, so these entities come from the Pleiades, so they call themselves the Pleiadians. Get this. One example of this can be found in the book Bringers of the Dawn, Teachings from the Pleiades by Barbara Marciniak. Here is only some of what she says was communicated to her by the Pleiadian beings. We are here. We are the Pleiadians. Humanity is learning a great lesson at this time. The lesson is, of course, to realize your godhood. There's your first big lie. You will be as gods if you eat of the fruit, right? Knowing from good and evil. Same old lie. Guess where that's from? Know your godhood? No, we are too. God is God, he's El Shaddai, Most High God, God Almighty, and I'm me, and you are you. And we will never be God. I will be in a glorified body. I get that. I get to spend eternity with him. That's cool. But he's God, and I will worship him. End of story. Let's continue. If human beings do not change, if they do not make the shift in values and realize that without Earth, they could not be here, then Earth and its love for its own initiation is reaching for a higher frequency. We'll bring about a cleansing that will balance it once again. This is basically what Gaia is about, that somehow Earth is alive. It has a spirit. Nonsense. Earth is not alive. It does not have a spirit. Sorry, not buying that for a second. More New Age stuff. Here's the kicker. This is channeled information written years ago. Listen carefully. There is a potential for many people to leave the planet in an afternoon. I'll say it again. There is a great potential for many people to leave the planet in an afternoon. The people who leave the planet during a time of Earth changes do not fit here any longer, and they are stopping the harmony of Earth. Some of the creator gods were master geneticists. It has been our intention to expand your ideas of who your gods are, because those gods will be returning from Earth. This explains away the rapture right here. She just said it. In an afternoon, and I'll say it again, the people who leave the planet during a time of Earth changes do not fit here any longer, and they are stopping the harmony of the Earth. I had a New Ager who's a channeler. She calls herself an Arcturian. Of course, she's not. She's just demon-possessed, but I digress, and I challenged her, and I said, you know, we're going up. We're not going to be here for this. And she just basically said to me, you're just clinging to your pages of your dusty Bible, L.A., and you're not ready for the paradigm shift. There it is. Have I connected dots? Wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, trouble sometimes. Men faint from fear from what is coming upon the earth. Even the elect would be deceived of those. If even the elect would be deceived, unless what is it? Not unless those days were shortage. What's the end of that? Even if that were possible, even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. Jesus warns us, it'll be like the days of Noah. We're here. We are absolutely here, in my opinion. I'm not a date setter, but I think we're really, really close. And with the advent of AI, it's the bow. It's the candles on the birthday cake. They're about to be lit, and we're going up. The good news is, don't be fearful. I've just armed you guys. You are now armed and dangerous. You know what the truth is. You know what the great deception is. You can talk about prophecy and realize that we are living in prophetic times. If this isn't it, I don't know what else is. Everything's firing on all 8 cylinders. Everything is. Truth is thrown to the street. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. Let me pray for you guys and I'll let you go. Father, we just thank you for your folks here. Thank you for their patience. I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, touch their minds. Be with them, Father. I pray against the spirit of fear. I pray for boldness in their lives, that they would tell their loved ones of what and where we are. I pray that you would wake them up from their stupor, set them on fire, and not some nonsense fire, but fire and love for you, love for your word, love for prophecy. So we bless these folks in Jesus' name. We bless them as they go out from this place. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Amen.
God bless you.